Welcome to Spectrum from China America Radio, a weekly public service production featuring news, information, and stories of interest to our China America Radio listeners in the United States and around the world. Now, here's this week's host, Steve Warren.
Hi again. Time for another Spectrum show. And my guest this week is the president and executive director of an organization known as Asian Americans Advancing Justice, John C. Yang. John, welcome to China America Radio.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Nice to have you with us today. And we have a couple of subjects that we're going to try to cover. But first, a little history. Tell us a little bit about your background, your family background, your upbringing, so people can get to know you a little better.
Sure. So I was actually born in China, moved to the States when I was 2 years old. So I'm Chinese American, grew up in the Midwest in the Chicago area at a time when there were not that many Asian Americans. I counted probably about six Asian Americans in my graduating class of about 565 in high school. But I also had the fortune to work in China for about 6 years as an expat for an American company as their Asia-Pacific General Counsel. So in that sense, I've been fortunate because I've been able to traverse both worlds. I'm bilingual, I speak Mandarin fluently, and it's actually for me a point of pride that I was able to do transactions in Chinese during my time there.
What part of China was your family from?
So my father is from Zhejiang, and my mother's from Anhui. So it's sort of more the central part of China. People know the Chinese geography.
Since most of our listeners are Chinese, they like to hear names, place names, not just China, because that covers way too much territory.
Absolutely.
And Chicago is familiar to me because I like the South Side Chicago Chinatown. And usually when I'm in Chicago for some reason, I try to gravitate down Wentworth down that way to the Chinatown neighborhood. So anyway, let's fast forward to the organization. It's Asian Americans Advancing Justice. It as well has a history that I believe precedes you. Tell us a little bit about the organization and the history of it, and then perhaps the mission statement.
Absolutely. So to be specific, my organization is Asian Americans Advancing Justice, AAJC. So it's part of a group of Asian American Advancing Justice affiliates. So we're independently managed. There are also affiliates in San Francisco, Atlanta, Los Angeles, and Chicago. The one based in D.C., our mission is to advance the civil and human rights of Asian Americans and to promote a fair and equitable society for all. So what that means is sort of our programs are designed around what we would call policy advocacy. So a lot of work on the Hill in Washington, D.C. on legislation or executive policies that affect Asian Americans. We do a fair bit of litigation when we have issues that we think are disparately impacting the Asian American community. And then we have a group of what we call community partners. So we have over 160 community partners. These are social service organizations largely that cater to the Asian American population throughout the country. So we're in about, those partners are in about 34 states, as well as the District of Columbia. In terms of the issues that we work on, they include immigration, which you might imagine, voting, census, which I believe we will talk about, as well as tech and telecom and discrimination in all of its different forms.
I presume it's no secret that there has been an uptick in issues involving Asian Americans because of COVID. Tell me how that has impacted your work.
Unfortunately, that's right. As we all know, from early on during COVID-19, Chinese Americans in particular and Asian Americans as a whole were targeted for hate crimes and hate incidents under misinformation and disinformation related to the cause of COVID-19. Obviously, some stereotypes were perpetuated about Chinese or Asian culture. And even the terminology that has been used, terminology like China virus, Wuhan flu, or Kung flu, has affected Asian Americans. So our organization, and there are a number of organizations that do this as well, track these hate incidents. We have a website tool called www.standagainsthatred.org, where people can report these hate incidents. And we've seen a severe uptick, severe increase in the number of hate incidents that have been reported during this time. So part of our job right now is to make sure that policymakers, make sure that people in the media recognize the harm that is being caused by these stereotypes, the harm that is being caused by these names that really stigmatize and does nothing to help with the public health crisis that we have.
Well, one of the things that helps in that regard is information and knowledge, and that is supported by getting an accurate body count of the number of people in the community, because that's where funding and other legislative initiatives come from when you start seeing the critical mass of people in a particular community. And that kind of gets us to census. And we are very pleased that China America Radio has been one of the paid advertisers from the TDW agency that has placed Asian advertising throughout the United States. So we've been running ads on a pretty regular basis in Mandarin and Cantonese and English, as well as done a variety of interviews in this particular segment with representatives of the local and regional census. So obviously now there seems to be a full court press on a lot of different organizations. We've had people from Taiwan American Professionals, from the Chinatown Partnership here in New York, who have come on with us to try to implore people in the community, in the Asian community, to participate in the census. So how does your organization interface with that activity?
So our organization is a hub, if you will, for the resources related to the Asian American community. So if you think about all the fact sheets, if you think about even some of the PSAs that have been produced, we're a starting point for a lot of these. So certainly, whether it's the Asian American Federation in New York, you know, the Chinatown Partnership, a lot of them look to us to look at what these fact sheets are, look to get the most recent updates. You know, one of the important things to keep in mind is, unfortunately, the time period for responding has been changing. It's been true because of COVID-19, which is understandable. The time was extended. Now the time was shortened so that we only have until September 30th to respond. And so it's important for our organization to keep everyone updated about all of these changes and to make sure that the proper word, the proper information gets out so we know how to respond.
In your estimation or in your experience, what has been the hesitation, if in fact there is a hesitation, for members of the Chinese community specifically to fail to respond to the census?
Sure. And we actually did messaging research on this, albeit that research was pre-COVID-19, so some of that has changed. But when we did the messaging research, concerns about immigration or concerns about disclosure to other parts of the federal government were the number one reasons for why people were hesitant to respond. And so part of our job is to get out to the community that this information does not get disclosed to ICE, does not get disclosed to DHS, that it is information that is kept within the Census Bureau. Your individual data is safe, and that this really is for purposes that helps our community and doesn't hurt. So that's the number one barrier. Number two barrier is actually just knowledge of the census. I mean, let's remember that the Asian American community, and this is true for the Chinese American community as well, over 90% of us are either immigrants or children of immigrants. Literally about 1 in 6 of Asian Americans have never participated in a decennial census. So just understanding what the census is and the importance of the census is the other hurdle that we have to get across. Because back in our quote-unquote home countries in Asia, there may be censuses, but they look very different. They don't involve this sort of door-to-door tabulation that we conduct every 10 years here in the United States.
Yes, I would think that it would strike fear into the hearts of many people from many places in the world when someone from the government shows up at their front door. Is that getting better? Are you winning that war, do you think, at converting people into believers?
I think we are winning that war, although there's a lot of challenges. Because anytime there are statements put out about not counting undocumented immigrants, let's remember, even within the Asian American community and the Chinese American community, there's a lot of undocumented immigrants. So anytime there's fear about this immigration status, that's a setback for us. But at the same time, I think through shows like yours and through a lot of these PSAs, the word is getting out to the community about the importance. Certainly, if you think about COVID-19, a lot of these federal resources are allocated first when they look at the census data. And so if we get the census data wrong, that means our individual communities might not get the federal aid that we really are entitled to.
Wanted to mention that we've kind of separated Chinese and Asian because your organization is actually quite pan-Asian, and you conduct business in South Asia and East Asia throughout. Are there different issues with different Asian geographies in the census?
There are different barriers and different messages that work. Certainly in terms of messages that work, one thing that works for all of us is emphasizing how the census provides community resources, you know, goes to roads, goes to schools, goes to hospitals. I mean, if you think about, you know, how a decision is made about where a school is built, it's based on census data and based on how many kids are living in that area and the growth expected in that area. And that's the same as for hospitals. That's the same for new roads. So there's that commonality. But you're absolutely right, is once you break it down, there are certain messages that resonate better with certain communities than others. You know, for Indian Americans, the concept of democracy resonates better because India itself is a democracy, and sort of the notion of elections resonates with them, right? Whereas that would not necessarily resonate as much with Chinese immigrants. But for Chinese immigrants, one of the things that we found is a concept around family was certainly resonate very well. Not to say it doesn't resonate with other communities, but that's one message that works particularly well for the Chinese American community.
Your organization has put up a special website, which is sort of one-stop shopping for census information. Would you share that with us?
Sure. And so that's the website is countusin2020.org. And you're absolutely right. So we have fact sheets in about 18 Asian languages, another 8 Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander languages. And it goes through everything from census, what we call census 101, to how do you identify a census worker? For that, those people that come knocking on your door, you know, there are certain things that they always carry with them, a census bag, census bureau ID, right? So that, again, that helps to dispel some of the fear that people might have, understandably, when someone from the government comes knocking on your door.
So let's get that website one more time slowly.
Sure. So the website is countusin2020.org. The other resource I would offer is we also have a hotline that is operated in 8 different Asian languages, including both Mandarin and Cantonese. And that's 844-2020-API. And that hotline is designed to do the same thing. If people have questions about the census, what it's used for, how to identify a census worker, they should feel free to call that hotline to get some of these answers. Just again, the hope is to allay some of the fears so that people participate, because that participation piece is definitely very important.
As of September 30th, the counting sort of stops or slows to a crawl, and we wait for the information to be processed and then presented to the president's desk first of the year. What is your next initiative for your organization after the census?
Well, after the census, you know, for our organization, part of it is after September 30th, which is currently the deadline. Now, I will say that our organization is actually challenging that deadline because we think because of COVID-19, we don't think we are going to get completely accurate results if September 30th is the deadline and if December 31st is the deadline for presenting all of this information to the president. So there is that fight that is going on. But then after the census, where we're going to be pivoting is the elections and really making sure, again, the Asian American vote is protected. And what I mean by that is both making sure we're informed about all of these different changes in balloting procedures. Obviously, much of that is local, but there are certain commonalities that to that. The other thing is language access, right, is for much of our community, they are limited English proficient. And so they need to understand what it means to bring what we call as a sister to the polls. You know, someone can actually be brought to the polls with them to help you translate. Does not have to be a citizen. It does not have to be someone that is registered to vote in that jurisdiction. But, you know, our people need to understand sort of what is allowed. And so that's the other initiative that we're really going to be pivoting to right away after the census activities finish.
Is there or will there be a similar website as you have for the census for the election?
There is a 1-800 number that we have. We don't quite have a website, although certainly if you go to our organization's website, there are resources provided there. The easy place to call is 888-API-VOTE. So it's 888-API-VOTE. And that hotline is similar to the census hotline. We have the same 8 languages that are covered. And that gives you, even if you don't know where your polling place is, we have databases set up so that we can figure out where your polling place is. You know, there are questions sometimes that come about up about when you have to mail in your ballot by, and we try to keep up to date on all of the changes so that we could give people up to date information.
Our guest on Spectrum this week on China America Radio has been John Yang. John is the president and executive director of Asian Americans Advancing Justice. Any final words of wisdom to pass along to our listeners?
I think the main thing is please participate in the census and please make sure your family members do, especially for many of your listeners and maybe helping your parents or your older relatives to participate. Likewise for voting, it's critical that all of our voices are heard. And one of the reasons to make sure that they get heard is so that we could get these resources. So again, please vote and then encourage everyone else that is eligible to vote to do so.
Thank you, John, for being with us. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Join us every weekend for Spectrum on China America Radio, a weekly public service program featuring news, information, lifestyle experiences, and stories of interest to our listeners in the United States and around the world. If you have suggestions for future topics or guests to be featured on an upcoming Spectrum program, send them to us at programming@chinaamericaradio.com.